From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and if you can't tell, we have Seth on here with us, so sorry ahead of time.
Yeah. Chris, you say that as if I'm going to bum someone out or something.
Yeah, well, it almost sounds like you are going to bum somebody out. So why don't we start with a fun subject?
It is not my fault. Everything is pointless and we'll all die alone, Chris.
That's fair, but can we start with a fun subject today?
Sure.
Let's talk about how bad John Elway is as a GM.
I didn't see that coming. Okay.
No, I saw a tweet and somebody basically stockpiled, I think, his five drafts that he's had. He's got three guys that are starter worthy in his five drafts.
Yeah. Who, Vaughn?
No, he didn't draft Vaughn.
Oh, really?
Justin Simmons is one of those because he was a guy I was pretty high on. I was pretty frustrated when they took him.
Simmons is one. Janovich is another in a position that is being phased out.
A Polish fullback from Nebraska. What could go wrong?
Why has everything got to be about nationality?
Well, hey, we Irish have a bit of an attitude about it.
Yeah. okay, who's the third?
I don't remember.
That guy.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I think if I could find it.
No, he's been a bad GM. The reality is he has been a bad GM who inherited – actually, you know, the team was not without talent when he came in. They lacked a quarterback. That was
right.
It. They lacked a quarterback. Yep. And so Peyton Manning came in, and because of Peyton Manning, they got Sanders. Because of Peyton Manning,
here we go.
They got Tlaib. Because of Peyton Manning.
You want to know who they – sorry, go ahead.
Man.
My bad.
TJ Ward as well. Everyone they got was because of free agency signing, people that wanted to play with Manning, because he made an already talented roster, a Super Bowl contending roster, and people wanted to win a Super Bowl. John Elway has slowly destroyed that roster.
Okay, here we go.
Who's the third guy?
Well, there might be four, actually, because I wasn't counting Simmons originally. In 2014, here's his draft. First round, Bradley Roby. Second, Cody Latimer. Third, Michael Schofield. Fourth, Lamon Barrow. Sixth, Matt Paradis. And I'm sorry, Barrow was a fifth-round pick. And then seventh, Corey Nelson. In 2013, it was Sylvester Williams, Monty Ball, Kayvon Webster, Quanterris Smith, Tavarus King as a wide receiver, Vinston Painter, and Zach Dysart.
That's a bad draft.
And then 2016, Paxton Lynch, Adam Gotsis, Justin Simmons, Devontae Booker, Connor McGovern, Andy Janovich, Will Parks, Riley Dixon, and then last year was Garrett Bowles, DeMarcus Walker, Carlos Henderson, Brandon Langley, Jake Butt, Isaiah McKenzie, D'Angelo Henderson, and Chad Kelly.
You never know how last year's will turn out. That first one wasn't bad.
No, that's true.
He had a couple of guys from the first one. That's not bad. But yeah, those other ones were pretty rancid.
Roby and Paradis, yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah. Those guys are two cornerstones of what they're going to have to do going forward.
Yeah.
And then in 16, he had Simmons and Janovich. In 13, he didn't have anybody.
Yeah, that was
Kayvon Webster, maybe?
That was a really bad draft. Oof.
And then, I don't know, 17, we'll see, but Garrett Bowles I'm not sold on. Yeah, I don't know.
No, they're headed downhill. They seem to think that they are corner. It's kind of interesting because they're going two different directions. On one hand, I keep hearing all these rumors that they're trying to get rid of Emmanuel Sanders. They're trying to get rid of Demaryius Thomas. They're trying to get rid of Aqib Talib. But then you also hear, well, they're going to bring in Cousins because they're just a quarterback away. Those two things don't make sense together. They don't. You can't.
What doesn't belong
you can't
here?
Be in rebuild mode and we can compete mode. You just can't. Although the Chiefs are trying to do it, so there you go. But okay, it's a totally different situation.
2015 draft: Shane Ray, Ty Sombrallo, Jeff Howerman, Max Garcia, Lorenzo Doss, Darius Kilgo, Trevor Siemian, Torian Nixon, and Josh Furman.
Bunch of garbage.
So I mean, you got your starting. Well, you got your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Thank you. Here's the thing. The line that I always draw, and I get asked this pretty regularly when I'm on the radio in Denver, is what has John Elway done to get him this perception that he's good? And the bottom line is the quarterback. I think it's honestly the major reason that I think he is going to land Kirk Cousins, because he can speak to veteran quarterback free agents.
I don't know that you can pay him that. We'll see.
Well, that's true. There's more hoops to jump this time. But I think Hall of Fame quarterback talking to a veteran free agent quarterback, there's a connection there that he's able to capitalize on. Whether he can sell this roster, which I don't think is up to par to where Peyton Manning was looking when he was coming in. I think that might be a taller order, but definitely young players are not John Elway's thing.
Well, the other side of that is that when he brought in Peyton Manning, Von Miller was on his first contract. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys that are on second contracts or third contracts that are getting paid a lot of money. Kirk Cousins, as crazy as it's going to sound to say, I think he's going to be easily $30 million a year, if not more.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to think so. With the Garoppolo money?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. And we haven't seen Tlaib released yet. I still think that's going to happen.
I don't know when. That's going to happen too.
But
I'm just, you know.
And maybe that's some.
You go.
But.
Well, this is the first. Okay.
Well, maybe we have to revisit that because, I mean, I like – obviously, there's nothing not to like about the Fuller acquisition.
Yes.
But right now, as it stands, no Revis. I don't know if Mitchell will be back. If he will, he should be the fourth CB at best. Yep. So you're looking at Steven Nelson still inside and hopeful, according to Therese, that Fuller can play outside. But – if you look at getting a dedicated outside guy like Tlaib or someone else like your Tremaine Johnson, I mean, that gives them at least a corner group that's approaching elite. And if you fortify the free safety spot and Eric Berry's back to health, you're looking at maybe the best secondary in football.
Yeah.
Especially if you go out and get a Tyvon Branch.
Yeah, Branch would be good. Eric Reed would be good. Branch worries me injury-wise.
And age-wise.
So I don't know if that's the direction they're going. I mean, DJ made it real clear. They're looking to get younger. I mean, he just was flat out. Now, does that mean they're looking to get younger everywhere? Because, you know, Eric Berry turns like 30 this year. Yep. Man, I feel for that guy. Three seasons that, you know, 2.5 seasons, I guess, lost. That's really frustrating.
And you know what else? That I have to say, because I was going to put this in an article later this week, and I may still, but do you know his brothers are up? They're draft eligible.
Cool. I did not know that.
So
I don't think they go.
A really good punt returner.
Yeah.
They're not going right now, are they?
I believe they are.
Oh, are they?
I don't think they have to. I haven't seen if they've declared or not. I just know that Evan's been really successful as a punt returner, plays some safety too. I just find that interesting. I'm into the whole, brothers playing on the same squad thing. Hell, bring back Jeff Schwartz for all I care.
Yeah. Sign Kyle Fuller. There you go. No, as far as the Tlaib thing goes, I'm all in on – now, here's the deal. Nelson was okay last year. He was average. He was all right. You know, he's good against the run. He's okay in coverage. He's not bad. As a third corner, I think you could do a lot worse than him. I would just – here's my thing. I think Peters, Fuller, Nelson – is a good group. That's a good trio. The depth worries me, right? But if you bring in Tlaib as a one-year rental, or you sign Kyle Fuller, I wouldn't want them to break the bank on Tremaine Johnson at this point, just because that would be a long-term deal as well. And I want them to go elsewhere for long-term looks. I mean, if they do sign a Coral, okay, hey, great. Because that's the thing. If they sign a high-end guy, they would have a very strong argument for the best corner group in the NFL, in my opinion.
Well,
yeah, I agree.
And I don't I'm not disagreeing with that, but I have to ask the question. Don't you think maybe safety is a better use of money for Kansas City? And the reason I bring this up, we talked to Eric Eager on the show yesterday, and one thing that he said, that he has a great point. You know, Bob Sutton's defense has always been great when they've had good safeties, and not having that ability this past season really hurt them. So I could see them going, yes.
Did you ask him if he's been reading my stuff lately or what?
No, I did not.
Here, hang on. I'm going to find a verbatim quote here from my If I Were Chiefs GM Brett Veach, part two. Hang on.
Do you need me to be your press secretary?
Hang on. Oh, when I said my first move, my big thing was sign LaMarcus Joyner, safety, 5 years, $68 million. Now, again, I know that's a huge deal, right? To be fair, have you watched any of LaMarcus Joyner's film?
No.
I have. That dude can
play.
I'm wondering what you're seeing, because I did not come away that as impressed as you. I don't know if we watch different games or what.
I just like his versatility and coverage. I like the fact that he can now he's not an in-the-box guy, but I like that he can do it all. Now, there's always the danger when you get someone from Wade Phillips' defense, because Wade Phillips makes everyone look better. Anyway, he was my, hey, yeah, splurge, or splurge on Eric Reed. Or splurge on, you know, wouldn't have to splurge as much on, say, like Tyvon Branch or someone like that. So I actually wrote this. People view safeties as not very important, but history tells us otherwise with Bob Sutton's defense. The best DVOA defense that Sutton has coached with the Chiefs have been when the safety group is strong and versatile. He asks his safety to play all over the field, creating confusion for quarterbacks. From single high to covering slot receivers. In short, I'm not sure there's a coordinator in the league who asks for more from his safeties.
Dude, yeah. You're a machine.
Oh, I'll tell you what. No, well, anytime you agree with Eric, you know you're probably right, so I'm pretty happy about
that.
Yeah,
right? I mean, the guy has a tendency.
he does. I would say safety would be a great direction to go. There's some good safeties out there. Eric Reed is talented. He's versatile. Can play all over the place. I think he'd be a great addition.
There's another one that was talked about. Vaccaro.
I'm partial to Vaccaro.
There was another one besides Joyner and Reed and Branch.
That guy.
Seth, you were talking about him earlier today. I can't remember who it was, though. You were talking about it with Joe Dice.
I said
Eric. Talking TJ Ward, are
no.
You?
No.
Okay, good.
I think I mentioned just Eric Reed, and he was talking about Tyvon Branch.
Oh, he was talking about Branch? I thought there was somebody else. My bad.
Yeah, and
well, hey, I mentioned this to Matt Williams. What do you guys think of Trey Boston, formerly of the Chargers?
I don't know much about him. I heard he ran really hot and cold last year.
Yeah, five picks, though.
Yeah. Eh, you know me. Picks. I mean, they're great.
Yeah. Playmaking ability, whatever.
They can vary from one year to the next. I don't know how those picks came to be. I don't know if they bounced off a receiver. You know what I mean? I haven't reviewed his film. And so I've just seen, you know, I remember when people used to say Eric Berry wasn't a playmaker because he didn't, you know, he only had like one pick in a year. And I was like, no, that's not how it works.
Oh, hey, but, hey, Seth. The Chiefs should cut Justin Houston because he's not worth the $20 million.
I swear to God, Chris.
Oh, my Lord.
I swear.
We weren't going to bring that up.
Oh,
he's going to melt the microphone.
I have actually given up arguing about Justin Houston with people. Well, not really. I argued for a while with some dude last night. But, well, no, I can't. So what I've actually been doing, because people, oh, you're just a Justin Houston homer. Okay, I'm like, okay, fine. Fair enough. Why don't, you know, because, you know, look, people have their varying opinions on Pro Football Focus or Bleacher Report's top 1,000, right? I think especially the Bleacher Report one, that depends which analyst is doing the work. Like the corner one, I trust Ian Wharton completely. Like, if someone asks me what I think of a corner, and I ask Ian, I'm like, hey, what do you think of this dude? Because he charts things. He does a great job. I'm not sure if everyone else does as good a job based on some of the things I read regarding especially interior defensive linemen. But that's neither here nor there. The edge rusher guy that they have, which I believe it was he's a guy that I trust. He rated Justin Houston as I think it was the third best or second best edge rusher in the NFL. Pro Football Focus, whatever you think about them, rated him very highly. Like, I think he was, you know, I don't think he was the top three, but he was very high up there with edge rushers. Those aren't fans. They don't have an axe to grind, but they have him very highly rated. Those are the people who are watching the film. If you ask literally anyone who actually watches the film and isn't doing box score analysis, every one of them is like, yeah, Justin Houston's really, really, really good. And then I deal with people that are just like, duh, nah, you got to cut him, brah. He only had, yeah, he didn't have, he's only had, someone said to me, he's like, he's only had 21 sacks in the last 3 years. And I'm like, he was injured for like, what?
He was out for 14 games.
To me, that's like, we should totally cut Eric Berry, man. You didn't even have like 10 tackles this year. Puh. What? Ugh. And I'm sorry, I'm being like bitter right now because I'm still very upset about Justin Houston. Or not Justin Houston, Derek Johnson. So I'm being bitter. But no, the Houston thing is absurd. They'd save, you know, not that much money this year. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to cut our best defensive players so we can save like $7.8 million.
Well, okay, and not only that, but doesn't that go
on the defense?
Doesn't that go completely against what they need to do? And I'm not saying just from the perspective of how good of a player Justin Houston is, but the one thing that they've done year after year is they've always been in the hole cap wise. They're finally in a position where they don't have to be in a hole cap wise. They release Justin Houston, they're going to be right back in it next year as well because they're not going to take the hit this year. Which I understand it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But
well, people were saying, oh, do a post June 1st cut. And it's like, then you'd have like 7.1 mil dead cap next year, too. And it just, you just split it up. It's a terrible idea. Absolutely horrible idea. You cannot, you would absolutely downgrade the outside linebacker position significantly. There is literally not a single player you're going to get unless you somehow, some way catch lightning in a bottle and get a Von Miller level guy in the draft.
Well, and
that's it. Or you just catch lightning in a bottle. That'd be the only way. Sheer luck.
You want to see how?
Otherwise, you're going to downgrade.
You want to see Justin Houston make that make it up for that contract? Go get him. Go put somebody that's worth $15 million a year on the other side.
Well, just find someone. Just find someone who doesn't suck.
Well,
that was mean. I'm sorry. But
you're so demanding.
Well, I mean, it just, I mean, even if you just look at, if you go back and you watch the first couple games of the season and you look at the pass rush against, especially the first three games before Ford started, you know, to get nicked up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not like Dee Ford was like the catalyst, this great pass rusher, but he's a pretty good pass rusher. And the difference it made having someone who wasn't a minus pass rusher, you cannot get it. And we've talked about this before, right? You can't have just two pass rushers.
Nope.
You know, Von Miller only had 10 sacks this last year. Khalil Mack had 10.5. There's a pattern here. Either all three of those guys, if you include Houston, forgot how to rush the passer, or you can't just have one or two guys.
Yep.
You need to have, and I'm not saying you need studs. You need guys who can get it done. The Eagles line is not, I mean, they've got some studs. Don't get me wrong, right? Graham and Cox are amazing. But the rest of them are just decent to good pass rushers. And it's the group, the sum of the whole. That's why you need like a Junior Gallette, like I wrote about, or you know, someone like him, similar, who's a solid pass rusher. Or even if Dee Ford, I personally think how this is probably going to all go down. I haven't heard a whisper about the team even considering parting ways with Ford.
Nope.
I've always thought they thought more highly of him than fans did. And I anticipate, actually, it's kind of funny because he's a guy who sacks come in bunches. And so he never really had a chance for a game like that this year or this last year. I personally think he'll probably play in a contract year in 2018. And I bet he ends up with 10, 11, 12 sacks. Wouldn't surprise me.
I can see that happen pretty easy.
Yeah. And so I'm actually not too stressed about the whole thing. But anyway, that's the whole Houston thing. You guys haven't even let me whine about Derek Johnson yet. And I'm kind of upset about that.
You're welcome.
We were trying to put it off.
I was just trying to make it a positive thing, you know, so people actually stuck around for your lamenting that is going to happen for the next 20 minutes.
This won't be 20 minutes. All I'm saying is that there is no God and we'll all die alone.
This coming from a pastor.
That's it. That's it. I've been converted to... No, I'm kidding.
Lord, I apologize for Seth.
Yeah, that's bad. I didn't mean that. But, no, this just... this. Even though I knew it was coming, this this genuinely, legitimately hurt.
But did you know it was really coming? Like, I thought he was going to be back on a smaller salary.
I've gone back and I've looked a little bit, and even when he played a little better down the stretch, he just wasn't, you know? Yeah, he just wasn't, he wasn't a great player anymore, and I would maybe postulate he wasn't even a good player anymore. Now, hey, maybe I'm way off and he was still in recovery and he's going to crush it the next couple of years in a more limited role, but he can't do the things the defense needs out of the weak outside, you know, linebacker or weak inside linebacker. You know what I mean?
I do. I think he could still be special if he's limited to third downs.
Yeah, I think that could, I think that could work.
I mean, And not just in coverage. I mean, we saw him rush in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Had a really, really nice delay blitz on Mariota and got home. Laid a nice lick on him. I think in spurts he can still do that, but it's protecting him, much like we've seen with Tamba, protecting his snap count.
Yeah. And I don't think they were interested in doing that. And I think they are trying to get younger. I think they're trying to form the team around kind of a new leadership group. You know what I mean? I think this is Eric Berry's locker room now. Although, to be fair,
I think it needs more than Eric, though.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Eric Berry and Justin Houston. Now, here's the deal. Because those guys are both, you know, 29, 30. So, mm-hmm. But I just, you know, DJ is just, he wasn't what he was. And I don't think they were looking for, like, a specialty player who had that kind of sway in the locker. You know what I mean? It's just a weird dynamic to have.
So let me ask you this question, because I talked to Eric about this as well. Or actually, I think I talked to Ryan about this. Do you think that this does mean that they're going to go in a much younger direction and possibly be cutting more people than we may have thought originally?
I think it's going to be kind of a bloodbath. I really do. Now, to be fair, like in my, you know, if I were Brett Veach, I mean, I had them not just cutting DJ, but cutting Tamba as well. Either if Alan Bailey won't extend for cheap, get rid of him. Ron Parker, get rid of him. I mean, we're talking like go nuts, man. It's that defense needs a full on purge. Yep. And the reality is you got guys who were getting paid big money who didn't contribute anything last year. And so it'll be interesting to see where they go. Veach is clearly not afraid. And so,
no, and that was, and that's what we were talking about. Is I think they're going to be more aggressive than with them just straight up releasing him. I think they're going to be more aggressive than maybe I thought originally they could be. I think they could get to where they have $30 or $40 million in free cap space just because they're going to be. I think that Parker is probably a good bet to be gone. I think Bailey is definitely a good bet to be gone.
Yeah.
The only thing is you gotta find a nose tackle probably.
Sure.
At least for a couple of downs. And if it's Benny coming back, if you're thinking about Poe, if you're looking at Sheldon Richardson, who got released today.
Oh, Richardson.
Oh, he got released.
Well, he's a free agent.
I believe so. No, let me double check. Somebody got released. Maybe it wasn't Sheldon. That's what it was. I'm sorry.
You know, Wilkerson can't do nose tackle. I don't think nose tackle is that hard a position to fill. Benny Logan shouldn't break the bank, you wouldn't think. I mean, I don't
He played on $8 million last year. You don't think he's going to get at least that?
I don't see why he would.
I don't know. I thought he was pretty consistent for a guy who got a raise. My only point is you have Alan Bailey at around 7.8-ish or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What if you move him into the middle and try to get him to eat the double teams that he wasn't eating at the five tech?
I personally don't like him in that role. I don't think he holds up well against double teams. As brutishly strong as he is, he's not heavy in the posterior region. He's right. Not
posterior chain. Yeah,
he's not thick as the kids would say, not the children.
Okay, that's a little bit different. Children in the corn.
That's terrible. But yeah, he's not thick. He in my review at least. While he's a decent run defender one-on-one, he's not a guy I want eating double teams. He gets washed by him. Benny Logan, I think Benny Logan would be a decent idea to bring back. If you don't got to pay quite $8 million for him, I'd pay 5 or 6. Okay. But
do you think that happens?
I don't think so. They haven't. There hasn't been any noise about it. It looks like, you know, Nacho makes sense to bring back, but they do need someone. Sure. And I there are a few guys in free agency. You know, the kid Justin Ellis from the Raiders, I think, could do the job pretty admirably. Big, strong dude. But yeah, I don't like Bailey for a fit at nose tackle. I just don't think he's got the right kind of power to hold up against double teams. I think he'd get washed way too often.
Fair enough.
I mean, I've been wrong.
Sheldon Richard is a free agent come the first of the new year, so there's a guy to watch. I think he could do both, and I like him, obviously, three tick. Yeah.
Just remember, Seth is a little bitter tonight, so.
Oh, my apologies.
He might have another answer, you know, a couple days from now.
I might. Okay. I'm very emotional.
Things change.
You know, yeah, and a lot, and things do change quickly. I mean, that's just, you know, we'll see what happens. The line is definitely a place they need to load up. I would not, now that Wilkerson, the rumor is, well, maybe, did he get released or is the rumors that he's gonna? I mean, either way, it's an inevitability once those rumors start flying.
Yeah, I believe I saw one credible report that he is being released within 24 hours.
Right. And so I would.
Plus, you have Richardson, who is a free agent. Yeah. So hey.
Yeah, I would definitely roll with Wilkerson. He's a very, very talented player. My understanding is, once that dude gets paid, though, it's over. So, I mean, right. I think he's a rental.
Who was the guy back in the day? I can't remember his name right now. Went from Washington to Tennessee, was it, or the
Tennessee
opposite?
To Washington? Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, cashed his check and shut it down.
Yep. I just remember there was a famous quote when Derek Thomas was at the Pro Bowl and he was razzing Chester McLaughlin. And he was, you know, just he's basically saying, yeah, there's Chester. One out of three plays when he feels like it, nobody can block him. And, you know, the idea was that, and it was the truth, you know, McLaughlin was incredibly talented. It's just effort. And so, I mean, Wilkerson, I mean, he's a brute of a guy. You want to see, there are very few guys that toss aside offensive linemen the unique way Chris Jones does. You know, like just grab him by the shoulders and just throw him. Wilkerson does that. He's got those unique heavy hands and he can move. I mean, he can play. It's just a matter of, you got to know what you're getting there. And so I would love to see them upgrade the talent up front. But yeah, as far as you know, DJ goes, I'm bummed. It was a business decision and it's the right move in my opinion. I think it's time for them to, it really does. Doesn't it feel like this is like a new era? Like this is like almost a reset of the Andy Reid era.
I can't help but agree with you.
No, I agree with you. So my question then becomes, who do you think is next? I mean, besides Tom Bahaly, and I know you had this article that you talked about of what you would do, but, you know, looking at what Veach has done now, to me, making this move now says more about the fact that there's more moves to come.
I would say so. I mean, it was quick. Now, with DJ, with having it happen now, part of it was, you know, people were starting to talk about the fact, well, wait, his contract voids on the new year. And so I think the Chiefs let that get out there. Like, this is what we're going to do to give him a little head start prepping for free agency. I'm not sure Tomba will get the same treatment, to be perfectly honest. And I love Tomba, but things have happened. And I'm not sure if the team is thinking like, ooh, how can we help Tomba? You know what I mean?
Right. Facebook is not your friend, Tomba.
Yes. Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, podcast with British dudes. I mean, all of it. I love those guys.
Brad, we're talking about you.
Yeah. Tomba is obviously next on the chopping block, but it would not surprise me. Parker and Bailey are two guys that I would be real curious about. Now, Bailey is like 28, 29. So he's still in his prime for a defensive lineman. And because of the nature of his contract, I think he's a prime guy for extension. Because he's an okay defensive lineman. He's decent. That's not a guy I think you really want walking when you need your talent level to be good. You know, you hate losing guys, average guys, when you don't have enough average guys, if that makes sense.
For sure.
So I think, you know, he's a guy that you approach and say, you know, hey, look, you know, here, let me, Alan Bailey spot track. I mean, this is not, you know, this isn't a terribly complicated contract to redo, right? He's, you know, he was a 4-year, $25 million. Man, John Dorsey, the farther we get from that era, by the way, the more obvious it is why he was fired. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It's become more and more obvious as certain guys that certain guys were carrying that team that he didn't really have that much to do with. Anyway, so you look at Bailey right now. So he's got, you know, $2 million in dead cap. His cap hit is $8 million this year, right? So I mean, you can say to him, "Hey, look, Alan, you know, you're 28. We want to extend you for 3 years, and we'll give you that $8 million guaranteed still." Right. But we're going to just, you know, we'll spread it out, or you offer him a little more guaranteed money over, say, 4 years to where you could, you know, lower that cap hit to like $4 million a year or something like that. Does that make sense? I mean, these are, you know, you tinker around with the money enough and you can find a way to do that to where it makes sense for him long term. Because like, or we can cut you and you can see what you get in the open market, which maybe he'd prefer. I don't know. He didn't have a bad year last year, and defensive linemen, that is not a super strong defensive line group on free agency. So maybe his agent would say, "Nah, go for it, see what happens." Because you can always come back and sign with the Chiefs.
Do you think he's actually a starter if he's here in Kansas City next year?
As things stand right now, yeah. I mean, unless they sign someone else. I mean, and starter, I mean, crud, Chris Jones wasn't the starter every game, you know, and he was clearly the best defensive lineman.
Right.
But I would say, I mean, Bailey played a lot of the snaps, and I just don't – there's no one to replace him that I can see. And so maybe, if they sign Sheldon or sign Wilkerson or something, well, then that changes things, more of a rotational role.
Well, let's go back to the inside linebackers because
– I don't want to.
Yeah, I know. Why do we have to go there?
We have to.
No, we don't.
Because this is a bigger deal than just losing the leading tackler in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
The guy that played over him or took the majority of his snaps is also a free agent. Yeah. There's been no indication, no rumblings that they're going to re-sign him either.
Yeah.
Now, I read somewhere that one of his recent arrest charges was a felony, but I know you said they were all misdemeanors, which – clearly changes the impact of that event. But regardless, did you guys even feel that KPL played well enough to be that starter next to Reggie Ragland in 2018?
I'd be kind of lukewarm on it. I wouldn't be like, "Oh no," but I wouldn't, you know, be thrilled.
I think that's what they view him as. I don't know whether or not I feel great about it or not, but you know, the bigger question becomes, you know, if you get a defensive line that is, you need to get a defensive line that's dominant to have him, I think, is an every down starter.
I agree.
Right. Yeah. The line needs to improve. I mean, that's, you know, and of course then people ask, you know, is it the line or is it the coaching or, cause you know, That's you know, some people are asking that question, but I do think,
right.
I do think he was okay considering, you know, first year in the system, you know, got traded, you know what I mean? Like he did okay. He made some decent plays. He's got a lot of speed. I have no issue with him. He obviously didn't acclimate like Ragland did though.
Right. Well, and here's the reason I bring it up is because right now under contract with Derek Johnson's contract lapsing, they have Reggie Ragland and Akeme Oligwe under contract at inside linebacker.
I like Oligwe.
That's it. I do too.
But they're definitely going to sign someone.
I think he can grow into.
Yeah.
Right. They have to. Or I'm thinking that this may become one of the higher priorities in the draft.
That could be.
And there's an interesting crop of draft options at inside linebacker, and most of them are the type that can play three downs and they can play in pass coverage. That's, I think, what's going to be the question is, do they sign somebody before the draft? And that kind of gives away what their plan's going to be. But I like Oligwe too, but I'd like to see him as the third inside linebacker.
You know, I wouldn't hate if they want to go the rental route. I thought Bowman was surprisingly okay for the Raiders. But here again, you got a guy who is going to struggle three downs. So, because Ragland,
he's great. Yeah,
Ragland's probably not your three down guy.
And Ramit can run, but just the up and down roller coaster of his stay with this franchise. I think this gives him an option to come back and be with the team, but man, you can't rely on him to be your starter, can you?
I don't think so. He's had a lot of chances to seize a role next to DJ, and has, you know what I mean? I mean, he just hasn't taken it. He had a chance and had another chance and another chance. He's had a lot of chances. I know there are a lot of people who are interested in Zach Brown from the Redskins. They were interested during the season too, but
I didn't realize he was a free agent.
Yeah, he is.
Oof, man, that'd be a great signing.
I don't know. I'm not as comfortable with him as most are. I mean, he can play three downs. I'll give you that, but man, he's still not the greatest in coverage.
See,
especially if you're looking to replace DJ's style of play, I don't know that he's the answer.
See, I'm not too worried about them finding another linebacker in coverage. Like, I want them to find a guy who can at least do it to an extent. But generally speaking, you're not asking your linebackers to fly all over the field in man coverage. They're dropping into shallow zones. You just need a guy who knows what he's, you know, how to get proper depth. That's it. You know what I mean? You're not asking everyone to play to be Luke Kuechly. You know what I mean? And so I would just.
Yeah, I just think it takes more instinctiveness than that. Just dropping into a zone isn't enough if you want to improve. Otherwise, you're going to get a guy that has the Philip Gaines syndrome, and he's obviously the weak link, and they attack it over and over and over and over. So.
That's a lot easier, though. I mean, if you improve the safety group, then you just play with Ragland out there. You know, and if the defensive line's bulked up enough and Eric Berry back, who cares? You know, hey, you want to throw over and over. I'm just throwing ideas out there. I do think it's an important position, but I mean, I don't know. Like, that's where I think, like, a guy like Zach Brown, who's decent in coverage but not, you know, fantastic, I think he could do the job. I don't think you're going to find another guy who's great in coverage. I mean, that would be ducky, as the cool kids say. You.
Dad jokes are ready.
I don't think that's actually a thing. But, they're just, you know, for me, I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm having a hard time getting fired up about inside linebacker. And maybe that's just because I haven't worried about it for so long.
That's a fair point.
You know, forever. Forever. You know what? I think that is what's happening here. I just haven't worried about the inside linebacker for the Chiefs, at least the primary spot, since I was 20.
Yeah.
That's silly.
It's been a long time. And here's the thing. We've talked about already the D-line needs to improve or else they're going to get gashed against the run again. And now the guy that you relied on to be really the stalwart, especially on third down, is gone.
Right.
So.
Well, then the unfortunate thing, though, is, you know, DJ, at least against the run, was a liability more often than he was a star last year. And so, you know, I really, and again, I have all the respect in the world for Derek Johnson, but what he contributed last year, that can be provided without too much trouble, like without taking a big step back. You know what I mean? And so that's why, I guess the way I'm viewing is, okay, stay at the same place there at least and improve the D-line. You already improved the corners, now improve the second. You know what I mean? If you improve everything else and just keep that the same, fair enough. I feel like that ought to be enough.
Okay.
I hope
yeah, let's cross
enough.
Our fingers.
Yeah. But no, it really sucks. DJ's not a Chief, and he's an all-timer, and I just, you know, he's right up there with Jamal Charles for me. It was him and Jamal. Yeah. And so I was just sitting there trying to not seem too sad because I didn't want my wife to judge me. but yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. There's just anything you say about DJ wouldn't be hyperbole. It'd be true.
I was writing an article about DJ for Wednesday, and I was thinking about how funny is it that the Chiefs probably owe their best offensive and defensive player over the past 10 years to Todd Haley.
Oh, shut it. You had to go there, didn't you?
I think it's a fair point, though.
I tweeted today that pretty much sentiment across the league is very on par with Bill Polian's, right? And then somebody added me and said, well, except for Todd Haley's opinion of Derek Johnson. Not that it matters, but yeah, you bring up a good point. Without that benching, he was first the head coach of the Chiefs. that probably is a very different career path for Derek Johnson.
Well, and for Jamaal Charles too. That was the crazy thing to me to think about, was the how much of a different career path it really was.
Yeah, maybe someone would have like actually played him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still bitter about Charles sitting behind LJ.
Yeah.
Now, and again, you know, LJ's come a long ways. Happy for the guy. But I, you know, I don't credit Haley for Charles. I just don't. I mean, he looked fine in 2008. You could see it. You know what I mean? And then in 2009, he didn't play Charles until he had to. And then Charles was so good, it was like, hey, we don't really have a choice here. Then he went out and signed Thomas Jones. It's like, what are you doing, man? Anyway, and I know it
somebody
went
really in the
well. Face. Yeah, I know I know we had the 6.4 with that year, but I still Jamaal Charles might miss out on the Hall of Fame, and in part it was because Todd Haley didn't give him the ball for like, you know, a year and a half. So I'm still a little irritated about that.
Vance Joseph, we're not letting you off the hook either.
Stupid Vance Joseph. See,
yeah, I actually feel a little bit better after that one.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered it, folks. I know you guys are going to miss Derek Johnson. We all know we're going to. Where this team goes from this point forward is going to be an interesting scenario. But, fellas, any last thoughts?
I am just so curious to see what happens moving forward. For the last few years, the Chiefs have been fairly stuck roster-wise. And they could go so many different directions this year. So many. And so I'm excited to see that. But it really does stink. You know, DJ deserved to be a guy who played in a Super Bowl. And it stinks that, you know, that
he still
that
could
play. Yeah, yeah, he could. But the play where he, you know, where it seemed like Mariota for a second had fumbled the ball, and DJ recovered it was going to score, and, you know, then it turned out that he didn't. That to me represents a lot of DJ. You know, there was some bad luck stuff in there.
Yep.
And he missed out on kind of what could have been, but he's still one of the best inside linebackers I've ever seen.
Well, and we'll always have our DJ memories. One of mine, and this is going to sound weird, but is DJ hitting Jamaal Charles in the Pro Bowl.
Yes, absolutely. That was just – he just never stopped. He just never stopped ever, 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 ever. And I loved that about him. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens next, but it feels like a different team without Derek Johnson and without Jamaal Charles. The reality is Dustin Colquitt might not be back. You get a lot of guys that have been around for a long time that aren't anymore.
Yeah. I can't imagine Colquitt's back after DJ being released.
And I really think, yeah. And then Tomba will be gone too. This is going to be a very, very, very different looking Chiefs roster this next year.
Yep.
And we will let you know how it unfolds. Seth, thanks for hanging out with us and being working through our depression a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll be looking towards the future again. As well as moving on to what they're going to do with this particular situation. So thanks for listening to us today. Make sure you check out Seth's work at arrowheadpride.com. And make sure you're checking out all the stuff that Chris is doing at lockedonchiefs.com. We'll be back with you tomorrow in your feed and on the web and everywhere else. Thanks for listening to us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.